Good morning again. Last time I can say good morning this year. We'll be having an offering taken up at the end of my sermon at offertory, so if you need an envelope, you might raise your hand. I wanted to mention that Bill Cowan was originally scheduled to have this sermon at offertory, but Bill has had quite a few health problems this year, and he wasn't able to speak, so I'm standing in for him. But I did want to mention something quickly about a member of in one of my congregations in Vero Beach, Jerry Hoskin. Jerry, before we've been to Tampa areas, Tampa, St. Pete, Vero Beach, Cala for almost a year, and even before we came, Jerry had come down with colorectal cancer, and he's been going through quite a bit of trials, and he was able to go to the feast, he and his wife Carolyn, in Tampa, but he had to leave about 3 days ago because of his colon was just freezing up. And I talked to both Carolyn and Jerry yesterday, and Jerry obviously wants to be healed. He's only in his 50s, and but he also and she both said that they just want God's will to be done, and the fight is very, very hard. So if you could just think about it when you say your prayers, to remember Jerry and Carolyn Hoskins, in your, Hoskin, not with an S, but just H-O-S-K-I-N. Just remember them if you would. You know, the role of an elder, and specifically, I guess I could say a pastor, has times when you're at the very happiest of times with members in your congregation and the very most trying and tough, hard times. Now, I was just thinking of the last few months ago, some of the things that have gone on in my areas. And back in the summer, the members in Tampa and St. Pete wanted to have an activity, and they wanted to go. We decided to go to a Tampa Bay baseball game. Now, I'd been told that that had been done a few years ago, and I think there were 20 or 25 people. So we just put out a sign-up list for both congregations to see what type of response, and we had 101 people come to the game, and it was wonderful. I mean, we're all set together. It was just a very, very fun time with the members, talking to each other and having fun. The only negative thing for me was I had a colonoscopy scheduled the next day. My mind was not on the game quite as much as I would have liked, but it was a wonderful time. But then, around the same time, we had a tragedy in the area. A young man named Jordan Gennaro, 17-year-old boy, died in a car wreck. Now, it's a long story, but I remember I was coming out of the dentist's office one day on Thursday afternoon. I got a call that two boys, one Morgan Green from the Kingsport congregation, was down visiting, had and Jordan were in an accident. And I was just told to head to the Zephyr Hills Hospital first to see Morgan, and then to the hospital in Tampa. And I did not know what I was going to find, but thankfully, when I saw Morgan, he was skinned up and injured a little bit, but not certainly life-threatening. But then when I went over to see Jordan, he was on life support. And that was a Thursday, and he died just on Sunday, just a few days after that on Pentecost. Now, it was a very trying situation, something I wish I'd never had to go through, something I'm sure all the members wish they never had to go through. But yet, the members, I felt closer to them than I ever have, because we sat at the hospital for much of Thursday night, Friday night. In fact, I don't know if some of you probably know Dale Yates. Dale Yates is not in good health. Dale Yates showed up at the hospital about 11 o'clock and stayed all night. And when I got back the next morning, my wife and I got back the next morning, Dale was still there. It's fact that he wasn't feeling well, but yet he was there. And yet the membership had to bind together, because it was hard. It was very trying. Now, when Jordan had his memorial service, we thought there'd be so many members and visitors show up, that we didn't really have a hall large enough, because the Tampa Hall could safely hold maybe 250. And so one of these mega churches contacted us and offered to let us have this service there. And we had the service there, and we had 850 people for a 17-year-old boy. And right toward after the service, and everyone is going through greeting the family, the pastor of this church came up to me and he said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You know," he said, "you and I have done a lot of funerals in our life, haven't we?" But he said, "We have funerals for 90-year-old men and women that may only have 10 to 15 people." He said, "This 17-year-old boy had 850 people." He said, "How many people did he affect in his short life?" And yet, God knows what's going on. God understands what's going on. Well, I thought I would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I love the fun times, but sometimes the trials is an opportunity to grow closer to your fellow members in the church of God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, a church he had quite a few issues, as you would know if you read 1 Corinthians. But in verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." So God is a God of comfort. Now, one other scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 and 6. Notice what Paul said, and you'd have to go back and look at Acts and get an idea of what he was going through. It specifically tells about this time in Paul's life. But in verse 5 and 6 of 2 Corinthians 7, it says, "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, that we were troubled in every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, he comforted us by the comfort of Titus, who came to help Paul, to serve with Paul." Now, I was just thinking last night, remember when we saw the video the first evening, the welcome video, and we played it again one day, and they had a little section where they had a number of photos from years gone by. And during those photos, I saw one man who I remember well, from Nashville. His name was Roy Lanier. And Roy had quite a few health problems, and serious health problems, and he dealt with it for quite a while. And I remember one Sunday morning, probably about 15 or so years ago, I got a phone call on Sunday morning. It was from Roy Lanier, and he asked me if I would come and anoint him. Now, Roy, it was only about an hour away, but he mentioned on the phone that he had called Fred Keller's, but Fred was not home, so he wondered if I would come out and anoint him, and I was certainly happy to and glad he asked me. So I went out, and he lived in a little trailer park out in Lebanon, Tennessee, with his, well, he had others that were out there too, but he lived alone. And when I got there, when I pulled in, right as I pulled in, Fred Keller's pulled in at the same time. Because Fred Keller's, Lucretia, had contacted Fred and told Fred, so we both just went up at the same time, and Fred and I both thought, well, that's interesting, we're both here. So we both went inside, and Fred Keller's and I had an opportunity to sit down and visit with Roy Lanier, probably for an hour or so. We talked about all types of things. It was so enjoyable to be there talking to Roy. And Fred and Roy and I all there just talking about things. And then when we anointed Roy, we were ready to leave, and Roy said, "Mr. Martin, could you stay? I need to talk to you about something that's really been bothering me for a long time." I thought, oh, what have I done now? But so Fred left, and Roy, I'll never forget this, Roy said, "Mr. Martin, this has been bothering me for a long time." I thought, what is it, Roy? He said, I've been calling you Stan instead of Mr. Martin. I feel terrible about that. I said, oh, thank you. That's all it is. I said, Roy, that's my name. Well, it's actually Stanley, but that's my name. Don't worry about that. I'm glad. And what I always thought was sort of funny was when I left, Fred was kind of around the trailer. What was that about? I said, no problem, Fred. This was an easy one. But the point is, Roy Lanier died less than a week later. And Fred Kellers and I had the honor of doing the funeral. Now, what if I had a thought, and what if Fred had a thought, we don't have time? Of course we have time. You're an elder. Fred was an elder. I was an elder. Our job is to serve. Now, I do it terribly poorly sometimes. I know that. But yet, the job of an elder and a pastor is to serve, is it not? And the job of a deacon is to serve. And deacon is to serve, is it not? And yet, we do the best we can, despite our failings. Well, we're going to take up an offering today. And I just wanted to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're still in 2 Corinthians. Here's Paul talking to the Corinthian church. And you probably know exactly the scriptures before I even read it. Two verses, verse 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians 9. Paul said, but this I say, he or she who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. It's up to you, isn't it? I would not ever try to get somebody to tear open their envelope and put more money in. You've thought about it. You give what you feel you should give. It's an offering to God, is it not? Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's what God wants from each of us. Now, as I close, I wanted to mention one more thing. There's some empty seats here, not people that used to be here, have attended Jekyll Island many times, and they're no longer alive, are they? They're resting in the grave in many cases. And there's one young lady, Juanita Ritchie, who is here every year, and Dale and Linda Ritchie helps with the cards. And Juanita was in a car accident along with the Ritchies when she was 4 years old. And she died about 2 weeks ago. And she was in her 50s. But after the accident, she never, her brainstem was injured and she did not mature intellectually. But yet she was here every year. And you, many of you remember her. Well, when Juanita died, of course, I was contacted. They attended the Orlando congregation. And that was on a Thursday. On Friday, it's interesting because I had a message to call Linda Ritchie. And it's interesting how it all works out sometimes. But I just happened to be out at Moffitt Cancer Center visiting Jerry Hoskin, the man that I mentioned at the very beginning. So I called from the lobby to see what Linda wanted to say. And she mentioned to me this, which I'll never, I want to honor Juanita in this way, because Linda said, you know, Mr. Martin, my father and I have talked about this, and we don't want flowers sent to the funeral. Linda, she said, loved the church. I mean, Juanita loved the church. And we would like to honor Juanita, she said, by anyone that would like to give flowers. Instead of sending flowers, which will fade away, just send a donation, she said, in Juanita's name for the television, Beyond Today Television Studio. I'm not saying that to try to get anybody to send money to the Beyond Today Television Studio, but what I'm saying is the Ritchies wanted to honor Juanita by the way she wanted to be honored, serving the church. So today, we'll take up an offering. And the offertory will be a guitar solo by Nefty De Leon. He will play a self-composed piece entitled Bella.